So at the start of this series, just kind of to quickly kind of review, because not everybody's here every week, and these are very much kind of building one on the next. At the start of the series, I laid out what I'm calling God's mission, right? Which is to bring about a world, bring about a world of perfect peace, right? Peace, which remember, is more than just people aren't fighting and hurting each other. It's when everything fits with everything else, right? Everything inside of you fits with everything else inside of you. Everything inside of you fits with everything around you. When everything just snaps together, it's like, yeah, right? So a world of perfect peace, which means justice, means joy, it means prosperity, it means significance and meaning, right? And what makes the world perfect is that everything is according to God's will. Because only God's will is perfectly good and wise. And so the world becomes that kind of a world by submitting to God's will. But we also saw that Scripture and experience are clear, unless you are in just dead intent on seeing the opposite. I think they are very clear that God does not accomplish bringing about His will by forcing His will on people. Instead, He fills the world, He fills our lives with evidence of His goodness and His wisdom so that we, as that representative head of creation, come to understand just how good His will is and choose to step into relationship with Him and submit to Him. When we choose His will over our own will, that's how the world becomes what it's supposed to be. But, as we all know very, very well, that is not what has happened since the days of Adam. All right? Because we chose, in Adam, and every single one of us since then, has chosen our own will over His will. And that sin ruins the good world that would otherwise show us God's goodness and turns our hearts so incorrigibly against God, that even seeing His good will, we will choose to reject it. But then we saw that Jesus fulfills God's mission in all of its aspects, right? First, we saw that in His incarnation, the cross and the resurrection, taking those three kind of together, He undoes the work of sin, setting us free, right, to go back and resume that plan that Adam stepped out of. Being brought back into peace with God, we then begin that process of learning His goodness in order to choose to submit to Him. But secondly, we saw that in the sin-marred world where it's so hard to see an evidence of God's goodness, Jesus perfectly reveals God's goodness. You can't read the Gospels without marveling at this man. He shows us how wise and good and loving God is. And seeing Jesus, we begin to want to know God. And perhaps, maybe even let Him have His way with us. But then third, we saw that as a human being, and as our new representative head, right, our new Adam, Jesus lives a life of perfect obedience, yielding His will to God's will in everything to the very end, to the highest expression of obedience. And in that, God gets the kind of humanity that He's wanted since the beginning. And we see in Jesus that if that kind of obedience to God's will were to fill the world indeed would be perfect. So now, we're into a three-week section that looks at how the church fits in to God's mission. And last week we saw that, first of all, the church is the people of God. And this means that as God brings about this perfect world, we are the ones who get to enjoy it. We are the ones who enjoy its beginning now, because it is already beginning now. We have the first fruits. And we are the ones who will be here when it comes in its fullness to enjoy it forever. right? We use the word beneficiaries. We are the beneficiaries of God's mission, meaning it is for us. That is who we are as the people of God. And as those who bask in his love and in his good gifts, we respond with worship, right? And that's what we do. If we are the beneficiaries, what we do is we worship him. But as we talked about, we want to be careful when we talk about worship that we don't limit it. And when we talked about worship last week, we were careful to think about worship as what we do all through the week. It's not what we do for an hour on Sunday morning, or even an hour and 15 minutes, or occasionally an hour and a half, right? It's what you are doing all through the week. And worship doesn't mean just the expression of worship. It's not just singing or praying or stopping something else because now I'm going to worship God for 20 minutes, right? Worship is a heart issue. And the real center of what the heart is when the heart is in worship is it is delighting in God's goodness. As we simply receive God's goodness and our heart delights and God delights in our delight, in his delight at being good, that's worship. So part of God's mission is for you, the people of God, for whom the mission is just to go out and enjoy God's goodness together with God. Live life, enjoy life, praise God, and you are joining God in his mission. So today we're going to take the second of those scriptural images of the church, right? And the second one is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And again, we're going to look first at what that says about who we are, and then we'll look at what that means about what we do. If we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, what does that say about our place in God's mission? And what does it say about how we join him in his mission? And instead of one passage this morning, I'd like to read a series of short excerpts on a theme. First of all, in John, the Gospel of John chapter 2, from verse 18, it says, this is when he's in the temple and he's overturned the tables and he drove all the animals out of the temple. Then the Jews demanded of him, "What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all of this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." The Jews replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days?" And then John explains, "But the temple he had spoken of was his body." And then in Acts 2, from verse 1, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." In Ephesians 2, interesting that this is all chapter 2, 2, 2, 2. In Ephesians 2, from verse 19, it says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone." That's already temple building language. "In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." And finally, in 1 Corinthians 3, 16, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you?" The Word of God for the people of God. So in that first passage from John 2, right, when Jesus stands in the physical temple, and not in the temple building, I think most people understand, but when he stood in the courtyard outside the temple building, He stands in the courtyard, which is part of the whole temple complex, and he basically says, do you see all this? This isn't the real temple. Right? That's the meaning when John says, but he's not talking about the temple, he's talking about his body. He says, this isn't the real temple, this here is. I am the real temple. Right? And we understand that Jesus is saying that he's the real thing of all the stuff that the temple was supposed to be. Okay? So what was the temple supposed to be? The temple was supposed to be where people could get close to God. The temple was the place where you could go and see God getting his work done. Right? At the temple, you saw the priests. At the temple, you saw the sacrifices. At the temple, you saw the worship going on. The temple was the place where all that God stuff was actually happening. Okay? And when Jesus says, no, that's not the temple. This is the temple. He's saying that to be close to God, you go to Jesus. To see God getting his work done, you go to Jesus. That Jesus is where all that God stuff is really happening. Because he is the temple. But then, in the book of Acts, we see the church filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if that slide is very... I think it's a little too small and a little too dark, but that's the apostles there standing in a circle with the fire coming down, apparently before it separated into various tongues. And also, remember, there were 120, not just the 12. So in the book of Acts, when we see the church filled with the Holy Spirit, they are experiencing what Jesus experienced at the beginning of his ministry. Jesus becomes who he is because he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And the church is filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. Okay? And so it's not surprising that the church, connected with Christ, filled with his Spirit, becomes the new temple of the Spirit here on earth, just as Jesus was when he was physically on earth. Okay? In the same way that Jesus announces that this is no longer the temple, now I am, after his death and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, his physical body is no longer the temple on earth. The temple of the Holy Spirit is now the church. And today we're going to look at what that idea says about who we, the church, are in relation to God's mission, and how we join him in that mission. Now, right off, I need to make very clear that a lot of people are accustomed to think of the temple of the Holy Spirit as the individual believer's physical body. We speak of ourselves as the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And there is one passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 where it speaks of an individual person's body as the temple of the Holy Spirit. But that is the only passage. Almost always, when the Bible talks about the temple of the Holy Spirit, it is you all in the plural. And we don't notice it because in English we have the same word for singular and plural in the second person. It is just infuriating, right? Practically no other language does that. Read the Bible in some other language, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. Okay, the New Testament is full of you in all kinds of passages that we read, me, right? Over and over again, when the Bible talks about the church being built into this temple of the Spirit, it is you all are the temple of the Holy Spirit. While it is true of individual believers too, the primary New Testament view is that the church is where God is present. The church is where God is at work. The church is where God can be seen and experienced. And all of my cautions last week about what I mean when I say the church, bring them all right back. The church is not the building, it's not the programs, it's not the institutions, it's not the paid staff. All of that is stripped away when you want to see the church. You are the church. And everything that gets built up around that is the scaffolding. Okay? And you are the church all the time. What you do on your own time, that is still the church. So with that broader understanding of the church, all of you, all the time, that is where God is present. That is where God is at work. That is where people can go to get close to God, to see Him doing His work, and to experience what it is to be near Him. So, in terms of God's mission, saying that the church is the new temple means that the church is the sphere of God's mission. Now, I really kind of wrestled with trying to come up with a different word, because unless you're a grammarian and do lots of study about the dative case, the word sphere is kind of this unwieldy kind of thing. But every other word I tried to come up with really fails in some way. Sphere is a lot like location, but it's not limited by anything physical, any kind of physical understanding. Sphere is the area of activity, the area of interest, the area of influence. Okay, I think a good example, while Jan Thorpe was in Bangladesh, the sphere of her work was educating severely disadvantaged children at Morningstar. Okay, that's where she was actively at work. That's where you could go and see her doing what she does. And that's where you could go and you could actually see change happening. Okay? Now, I think I can safely say, actually I know I can safely say because I ran this paragraph by Jan, that Jan always had a whole lot more in mind than educating those disadvantaged children. She longed to see the work with the children have ramifications through all of Bangladesh society. She hoped that other people would see what she was doing and that it would change their views of these people, change their views of life. She hoped that these children would grow up and go on and begin to change society and society's attitudes towards the slums. I mean, Jan's vision of what working with these children could eventually become was enormous. But reading, writing, and singing with a few children in a small classroom on the edge of a slum was where it was really happening. So in the same way, God wants to change the world, and He works in the church in such a way that it will overflow and change the world, but it is in the church where He is actively at work. It is in the church where it's really happening now. Okay? The church is the sphere of God's mission. If last week we saw that it is happening for us, it's happening among us. What's happening among us? Well, what are the three things that we keep hitting about God's mission? It's in the church where the effects of sin are actually being overturned. You look out in the world and you say that God is undoing the work of sin and you can almost snicker at it. But then you look in the church and you see lives that are different and you say, yeah, the work of sin is being overturned. It's in the church where God is revealing Himself as good, powerful, loving, and trustworthy. And it is in the church where a new humanity is responding to God with trust and love and obedience, learning to conform their will to His. It is in the church where God's mission is unfolding. So the church is where we see His kingdom actually breaking out, where we experience a small bit of the world to come, but a real bit of the world to come, a real foretaste of what it will be like when everything is according to his will. The church is the sphere of God's mission, where God is at work. His mission is happening among us. Now, some people object to this idea by pointing out all the stuff that God is doing outside the church. And there's no question that God is doing all sorts of things outside the church. Sometimes when you talk about God working in the church, people feel that we are limiting God. We're not limiting God. He works everywhere. He works where he wants. But to emphasize that, we miss out on the fact that he is working mostly in the church. When you compare to what is being done outside the church, it's nothing, next to nothing, compared to what God is doing in the church. Not an example, but an illustration, a parable, right? In high school, I went to a Grateful Dead show. I know, shocking. Some people can't handle the fact that that might have happened, but... And you know what? Outside the stadium, it was really wild, right? Long before you get to the stadium, this was down in Foxborough, you can hear all the music perfectly well, and you can see a lot of really weird stuff going down, right? But as much as what's happening out in the parking lot, it was nothing compared to what was going on inside the stadium, right? That's where it was really happening. And in the same way, yeah, God is out at work outside the church, but it's nothing compared to like the crazy stuff that's going on in the church, right? And the only reason it's happening outside on the periphery of the church is because it's overflowing out of what's happening in the stadium of God's mission. People also object to the idea that God is at work in the church because they fall into this restricted idea of the church, that the church is the building, that the church is the institution, that the church is what we do when we gather together as a church project, that it's only the church when we put on our NWMC t-shirts and go do something. And they can't accept that God would be so limited. Okay? But this is where it's so important to remember that the church is all of us all of the time. What God is doing in your life, home, school, work, recreation time, is just as much what God is doing in the church as anything that happens when we're doing something officially under an MWMC banner. Okay? I know a man who has done a tremendous amount of work for God. And I have often heard him say that the church is paralyzed and that to get anything done, you have to do it outside the church. And I understand what he is trying to say. But he's mistaken because you can't get outside the church. That man is the church. And everything he has ever done that he thought he was doing outside the church, God was doing in him in the church. As the temple of the Holy Spirit, the church is the sphere of God's mission. It's where God's mission is actually happening. It's where you can get close to God and see God actually accomplishing his work that will one day fill the world. So, if the church is the sphere of God's mission, if God's mission is being accomplished among us, what does that say about how we join him in his mission? What do we do if we are the temple? Well, as the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is the sphere of God's mission, the church bears a witness to the world. Witness is another word that I would have liked to come up with another one because we have, again, very limited, strict thinkings of what witness means that I want to just blow wide open. But I stuck with the word witness because we've got some W's going here. And yes, the third one next week will be a W-2. A W-2, it's tax season, right? No, I do not have W-2s for you. Okay, so back to the script here. Whew. So, what do I mean by being a witness, right? By being the place where God is at work, by being the place where God's work can be seen and experienced, by being the place where somebody can come in and say, what is it that God wants to do? Oh, I see it. We show the world who God is, and we show them what God wants to do. When we say that God wants, that God's will is to make a perfect world, what does that world look like? When the world bumps into us, if we're joining God's mission, they see a little bit of what it is that God wants the world to be like. The church is where the world can see God's perfect world just beginning to break out. The church is where we see sin being overcome, where we see relationships being healed, being brought back into peace, where we see people being restored to wholeness. When people bump into the church, they encounter a witness of who God is, a testimony to what God is doing. And remember, when I say when people bump into the church, I don't mean the building or the institution or me or even you when you're on a church project. I mean you all day long, every day. People bump up against the church way more often than they realize. And unfortunately, even way more often than you realize. They bump into the church when we are out on some project, as North Woolwich Methodist Church, but they also bump into the church when they live next door to you. Your next door neighbor lives right next door to the temple of God. They bump into the church when they work with you. They may bump into the church when they literally bump into your car in the parking lot. Oh, thank you. I thought that was funny, right? But when people bump up against the church, when people bump into the church, what do they see? Is it just another encounter like every other encounter in their day? Or are they hopefully confronted with something that's outside of their world? Are they confronted with a different way of being? Are they confronted with a different way of thinking? Are they confronted with a different way of living in this world that is different and, more importantly, suggests that this world could be different? Have you ever walked away from an encounter with somebody and said, wow, if the world was full of people like her, what a different place it would be? That's a witness of what God's doing. That's a testimony of the world that God wants to bring about. That's that witness that if people would live the way that God wants, not the way that they want, this world would not be like it is. It is a witness to the coming age. It points to a world outside of this world. The church, inasmuch as it is in healthy communion and faithful obedience to Jesus Christ, is a powerful witness to God's goodness and His faithfulness. Our lives, and particularly our lives together, are a testimony to the reality of God's reign and His power to change people at their very core. Our teaching, but more importantly, the example of our lives points to a different world. A world that is already breaking out among us. And a world that is coming when God's mission is complete. I did not overhear this conversation myself, but I was told about it after Don Fraser's funeral, that a group of young people who had been at the funeral were standing out in the parking lot talking amongst themselves, and they were in shock. They were completely taken aback at what they had found themselves in the middle of. They experienced. Not they saw, they experienced. And consciously noted and were talking to amongst themselves about it. They experienced and consciously noticed a community full of genuine love and goodness that they didn't know existed. And perhaps for the first time in their lives, they were confronted by something that was outside the world as they knew it, and clearly pointed that there's a life beyond the life that they know, something higher and better than what we've made out of this world. What was that? They bumped into a witness of God's mission. They bumped into a testimony, a first fruits. They bumped into the beginning of what God is actually doing, where? At the place where God is and can be seen and experienced. They bumped into a witness because they bumped into the temple of the Holy Spirit, the church. The temple of the Holy Spirit is the sphere of God's mission, right? God's mission is happening for us and among us. And this means that the church is the place where he's at work so that we experience the beginning of his perfect world. And in that way, the church is a witness to the goodness of God and to the goodness of yielding to his will. Our lives reveal who God is and what he is willing to do. And as long as we do not hide that, that's the danger. This isn't a call to go out and do something new. This isn't a call to devote 20 minutes a day to witnessing. This is simply the call to be authentic, to be who you are, to share your life as you live it with people around you. As long as we do not hide what God is doing, but humbly, honestly, authentically present to the world who God has made us to be, what he is doing in us, then our witness is an important way that we join him in his mission. Amen.